Hello and welcome to Choice and Control, a podcast celebrating the contribution that people with disabilities make to our communities. In this series, we are talking all things disability, social inclusion, and the National Disability Insurance Scheme. Throughout this series, you will also be hearing some great practical advice for making the most of your NDIS plan from local people accessing the scheme. This podcast series is brought to you by the team at Carers Queensland, NDIS Local Area Coordination Partner in the Community. I'm your host, Douglas Connor. Thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm super excited to welcome Dean Clifford to the podcast. Dean is a motivational speaker and disability employment advocate who has taken his remarkable story of survival and success around the globe. Dean grew up in Kingaroy in country Queensland and has been defying the odds and changing perceptions ever since. Dean, welcome to Choice and Control, and thank you very much for taking the time to catch up with me today.
No worries, it's my pleasure, Doug.
Dean, you were born with a skin condition called epidermolysis bullosa, or EB. Can you explain what that is and the impacts that that condition has had on your day-to-day life?
Yeah, so EB, as it's more commonly known as, it's a very, very rare genetic skin condition. And the easiest way I explain to people is my skin doesn't have the same glue and anchors that the average healthy person would have. So I've still got the same skin layers as everybody else, but I describe it as like a loaf of bread that doesn't have any butter to hold the pieces of bread together. So my skin just sits together, one on top of each other, without any of the anchors and binding property to keep it together. So my skin is medically regarded as having the strength and consistency of tissue paper, basically. I've got to be super careful of anything from walking and, you know, missing a little incline or a little step, or if I brush up against something, there's no strength to my skin. So the way I explain it is, if you were to trip over and bump into something, you might get a little bruise on your arm or your leg. With me, the skin will just peel straight off then, and an aggressive wound or ulcer will form. It's an incredibly difficult condition, something that I've had my entire life, and something that you've got to think about and work with for literally every single thing that you do, from opening a packet of biscuits through to, you know, whatever your day-to-day activity may bring about. There's obstacles with everything, from, you know, outside elements through to just missing a step and tripping over a step, or gripping a door too tightly or too heavily. So it's something that is really difficult to sort of quantify, because it's in every single day, every single element, every single thing that you do be thought about from an outside, you know, the norm perspective.
Thanks very much for sharing that, Dean. When you were born, doctors thought it was unlikely that you would live past five. You've recently celebrated your 40th and have been surpassing all medical expectations for years. What's that journey been like from then till now?
It's been an amazing journey. It blows me away to even think of just celebrating my 40th. Like, when I was born, I was one of the first in Australia with one of the most severe versions. So with EB, there can be so many different variations. Some people can just have it sort of have very weak skin isolated onto their feet or their arm, their hands, their sort of high use areas, and other parts of their body can be pretty well unaffected and pretty sort of strong skin consistency wise. With me, as I said, I was one of the first in Australia to have one of the most severe versions, and basically every part of my body, all my skin is incredibly fragile. Yeah. So the doctors gave me, at best was a 4 to 5 life expectancy. They'd never seen anybody as severe as myself. And so, to look back now and sort of think of overcoming all the day-to-day obstacles, overcoming the sort of outside stereotypes in the community and the sort of negativity that I had to face at times to be accepted to go to school, to be accepted into the workforce, to be accepted into all the general activities that I tried to pursue and all the goals and things that every other person tries to do in their life. It's been a huge journey and something that I'm incredibly proud of, to now be one of the oldest in the world that has survived and be in a really strong and healthy position with my body and with my general health is really, really, really healthy and really strong. So I'm sort of thrilled to now be in the position to hopefully inspire the next generation that are sort of struggling with their teenage years and, you know, struggling with what they're going to do with their life when their body is so, you know, fragile and so limited and what they can do, to sort of bring about a perspective of you can have a really positive life and you can aim high. You just maybe have to look at things slightly different to how the average person would look at things and target, you know, take on challenges and target things from a different viewpoint, but you can still achieve phenomenal things and live a really productive life. It's I'm really proud to sort of have gone through all those difficult times and come out of it with a perspective of being able to share to other people goals and dreams and that belief that life is really worth living to its fullest.
Dean, you also have a real passion for disability employment. In 2018, you were inducted into the Disability Employment Australia Hall of Fame. Can you talk us through some of the work that you've undertaken in the disability employment space and where that passion for employment really came from?
Yeah, it sort of came from when I finished school. I was really faced with sort of a crossroads in my life. I was still incredibly sick from right through childhood, and I still am, you know, I'm not 100%. I don't class myself as, you know, being 100% now. My body still is very weak and I still have to be very careful of what I can and can't do. So, you know, but back then I was very, very weak. I was very frail. I was struggling with where I fitted in the world and what my life was going to be like. I didn't think university was for me, because even the medical world at, you know, 15, 16, the medical world still didn't expect me to be alive, you know, to see my next birthday, let alone to sort of think of what I was going to do long term as a job or where I was going to fit into society. So it was around that sort of 15, 16 age bracket that I really sort of struggled to work out where I fit, where I belonged in the world. And I grew up and lived in a very small country town and called Kingaroy in Queensland here. And so I finished school and I didn't feel like university or going on to further my education was something that I really wanted to do. For me, it was all just about enjoying each week and each month and you know, living life to its fullest rather than thinking about having a five-year goal or a 10-year goal. So I was very lucky that I sort of thought I'd like to try to get a part-time job and like to sort of experience that side of things. And the local radio station in my hometown of Kingaroy offered me just a one-day-a-week voluntary job. That was pretty much all my body could handle. And so I started working there on a voluntary basis just for one day a week. And then within a few weeks, I was sort of enjoying that work. I felt like I could contribute to the workforce. And the local specialised disability employment agency then suggested that we approach my boss about getting paid work experience type role there, so I could make a little bit of money on, you know, mm-hmm. and start to earn an income. And they were receptive to that idea, so they made up a trainee sort of position for me for about 3 days a week if I could handle that, for about 2 hours at it per day. And at the end of that sort of paid work experience, I was diving under the different roles that they asked me to do. And so that then became a full-time, part-time job then. The work experience finished and they wanted to keep me on. That then grew to 3 days a week for 3 hours a day. jump ahead to the end of my time at the radio station. I was working 13 days out of 14. I'd had one day off a fortnight. And I was thriving under all the conditions. I worked from very basic admin, you know, stamping letters and putting postage stamps on envelopes through to the end of my time at the radio station. I was in one of the more high-profile positions, co-hosting the breakfast show. That then just led to the community learning more about me and my disability and what I was. So I became a person that wasn't just the sick, disabled kid kind of thing, for want of a better phrase. I became known as, you know, Dean, that had a pretty sharp sense of humour and knew amazing sports statistics. And so I became somebody that the community got to know more than just for my disability. And that then just led to getting more and more established into the community, fitting in into the workforce. But it just highlighted that the need for fitting in and feeling like you belonged into the workforce and into the community, and that just led to being an ambassador for Disability Employment Australia in the early 2000s, which was huge to be able to meet with politicians, meet with high-profile business people, and just sort of break down some of those common misconceptions about employing a disabled person. A lot of businesses sort of think it's going to be very intrusive and very difficult to employ a disabled person. They think that somebody like me with a very severe disability will need a lot of time off, or will need a lot of workplace modifications, or just cost a lot of money to sort of get set up. But they don't realise that the government is there to help with, you know, workplace modifications if it's required. And most of the time, a disabled person will be a long-term employee. Once they're sort of matched up with the correct job and they're in the right workplace, every person that I've met over the sort of 15, probably closer to 20 years now of sort of travelling around and meeting people, the disabled people, in my opinion, are the most passionate employees that a business will ever get. They take fewer sick days because they love going to work, and it's such a thrill to be working and be contributing. So many disabled people are just thrilled to be working and contributing, that they're more productive, they work harder, they stay in the business longer, they contribute, in my opinion, far more than a lot of average people. And so once businesses learn that side of things, they then come around to seeing the possibilities rather than sort of seeing the potential hurdles that they have to jump through. And so it becomes a real win-win situation. It's so important for a disabled person to get out into the real world, be contributing in a meaningful way. It's not a tokenistic job. That's not what anyone wants. We want to be contributing in the workforce, feeling like we belong. And I think that's something that everybody deserves, whether you're disabled or able-bodied.
That's a really incredible contribution, Dean. You mentioned working against some of the common misconceptions that are still quite prevalent in society today in regards to disability employment. For example, that hiring a person with a disability might cost more money or present different challenges for a business. What advice do you give to businesses and organisations who are considering hiring people with disability?
I think the benefits are huge. I think there's a lot of specialised disability employment agencies and networks out there now that businesses can tap into. So it isn't all on the business to, you know, research what they can tap into, whether it's workplace modifications or whether it's, you know, finding the right staff. I think there's a lot of support there through, as I said, specialised disability employment agencies and also through the NDIS. So there's so many different avenues there for a business to be matched up with the right, you know, person that is not going to, you know, take anything away. It's going to value add. If you need somebody to, you know, detail a car yard or do gardening, there is somebody whose dream job it is to do exactly that. If you need somebody to do computer marketing and, you know, admin or whatever it might be, there is somebody whose dream job it is to do that. They're not necessarily, like I said, looking to climb the ladder and become the CEO. They're more than happy to do their job and do their job really well, you know. They yeah. take great pride in what they do. So there's so many different scopes and different avenues there. I would urge businesses in general just to approach it with a genuine open mind. Whatever role you need, I have no doubt there's somebody who is more than qualified that may have a severe disability, may not even have a severe disability, but is just looking for that break and that opportunity for a business willing to think outside the square and give them a chance.
And Dean, on the flip side of that, what advice would you offer young people with disability looking to kickstart their careers or to find employment?
I think young people, it is very, very daunting. I can still remember when I was first, you know, trying to get a job. There's a lot of doubt that they're capable of or that they fit into the community. And even in the circles that I associate in within EB, meeting with young kids with EB, my skin condition, there's a lot of doubt as to if they're capable of working, and a lot of sort of uncertainty about how their life is, whether they'll be able to do a job or whether they'll have to, you know, leave the job because they get sick or whatever. And I always just try to say, like, think of what you're passionate about, think about what your dream job would be, and I'm sure there's a way to work it to fit what your capabilities are. You can find your passion and find a way to turn that into a job and turn that into a social outing and an income and turn that into improving the quality of your life. There's so many opportunities for disabled people these days. If you're willing to think outside the square, you're willing to seek the help and the guidance, yeah, there's just so many different opportunities to think outside the square and come up with that, you know, that dream role that you may never have thought of. So just to not limit yourself, not sort of be closed off to the idea, just be willing to put yourself out there and seek and look for that guidance and that professional help. And I'm sure the boundaries or the brick walls will just come falling down then, and sure you'll have a fantastic experience in the long run.
Dean, you started your motivational speaking company, DMC Motivational, in 2004, and have since travelled the world, telling your story to a range of diverse audiences, from primary school children to prime ministers. What's that experience been like?
It's been an amazing journey. It definitely wasn't something that I thought I would do at that time frame. I thought nobody really, you know, wanted to listen to a country kid from country Queensland that sort of only grew up and lived in a small country town. What sort of worldly experience would people want to learn from me? I do want to inspire people to think big, because I never thought I'd be working and I never thought I'd be contributing to the community, like I said. So I sort of thought, I guess sharing my story and giving my views on how important it is to work and to feel a sense of belonging and accomplishment. So I sort of started to come up with the idea of what parts of my story people might be interested in, how I deliver a speech. And then from that first presentation, within 12 months, I was traveling all around Australia. The feedback was just so amazing. And then it just continued to evolve to 2005, like I said, being invited to become an ambassador for Disability Employment Australia, and then traveling to Canberra to meet with the federal ministers and the prime ministers and share my story. And within 8 years, I was starting to get international inquiries and traveling to England and to New Zealand and America. And it's been such an amazing journey to just you know, as I said, be just a small-time country kid that just had a passion to share my story and try to inspire people.
Well, it really is a remarkable story, Dean, one that's taken you from Kingaroy to Canberra and beyond. And it's obviously a story that has really resonated with so many people around the country and globally as well. Now, outside your work life for a moment, you've actually pursued another passion to a highly competitive level, and that's powerlifting. Can you tell us how you got started with the sport? And also, if you ever imagined the kind of success that you ended up having?
Yeah, it's again one of those crazy moments of it was never something in my wildest dreams I'd ever think of, and I still get emails from people sort of saying, how can you do this when your skin is as fragile as what it is? My skin is incredibly fragile, but I was just hanging out at a friend's place almost 15 years ago now. My friend just said, like, I used a wheelchair for a lot of my childhood, pushing myself around in the wheelchair. And he said, like, you've obviously got a fair bit of upper body strength. It's just such a shame that I could never tap into that. And he said, like, if I could exercise, imagine what we could achieve. And I said, well, I don't know if I can or can't exercise because it's never something that I've ever tried to do. And so just sitting in his lounge room, he was like, well, what if we got down and we did 10 push-ups? How would you do that? My hands handled that pretty quickly on. My friend then sort of said, well, let's try weights. By the end of that first day, I was lifting my body weight on the bench press. And my mate and I just stood back in amazement. Pretty quickly after that, my mate and I sat down and we consulted medical experts and some medical advice, and again they just said flat out, no, what you're wanting to do won't be possible. But my mate and I sort of sat down, and he I'd known him most of my life, and he said, look, I think you could do it. And I said, I feel like I could as well. So we went by the advice of, let's try it, and if we have a major complication, then we'll stop and we'll reassess things then. We decided to just trial and error, just persist and jump ahead now. Yeah, my record in the gym is bench pressing 150 kilos. Well over double my body weight.
That's impressive by absolutely anyone's standards, 150 kilograms.
It puts me in the, like, around, I believe, according to some of the coaches and some of the people that I hang out with, it puts me around the top 5% of, you know, able-bodied or disabled people in the world as one of the strongest people, whether it's physically disabled or disabled-bodied, you know, like, but... it's absolutely amazing. Again, that's something that I talk about, not limiting yourself, not thinking, okay, this is going to be too dangerous, so it's not worth it. If it's something you really want to do, you can usually find ways to achieve it, and you can usually think outside the square and push yourself, and you'd be amazed what your body is capable of achieving. So bench press is just another example of something that everybody said I wouldn't be able to do, but my mate and I thought, let's give it a go.
Dean, that really is a truly amazing progression within the sport and an awesome personal achievement. Dean, the National Disability Insurance Scheme rolled out in Queensland in 2016 and came to your hometown of Brisbane in 2018. Can you talk to me a little bit about the supports you've accessed and the impact that those supports have made on your life?
Yeah, the impact has been huge. It's given myself so much freedom and independence. So I now have three people that come to assist me with my morning skin routine to make sure my body stays in the best possible condition. So I no longer have to consult specialists or check into hospital to manage my skin. I've got the support now, the support workers that come to the house and assist me every single day to get the best out of my general health and my body. I've been, as I said, able to live independently now for quite a few years because of the NDIS support. I've not required any major hospitalisation or not required any sort of medical advice. I'm able to care for myself independently and look after myself basically almost the same on the same level as any other person would expect out of their life, and I've got the independence to live as independently as possible and seek the help that I need and seek the equipment, whether it's the motorised wheelchair, so when my feet and my legs are playing up, I've got the motorised scooter, to sort of jump in and get out and about to achieve my daily activities. I've got the sort of home support with the equipment that I need in my house to no longer have to worry about damaging my skin. It's been huge with the home support that I've got and the home modifications that I've had, the equipment that I've been able to access, and then, as I said, the support workers there to help every day so that I can just get on and achieve my dreams and my goals. It's been such a huge relief and huge thing to have the NDIS there to support me now in everything that I'm trying to achieve.
Thanks, Dean. It's fantastic to hear the freedom that the NDIS support has afforded you. Well, Dean, that's all for today. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your incredible story with us. I've had a great time hearing it, and I'm sure all the listeners at home would feel the same way.
No worries, it's been good fun.
To learn more about Dean, you can visit his website at deanclifford.com. On there are some great photos and videos of his incredible powerlifting successes, which are well worth checking out. Thank you once again for tuning in to Choice and Control, a Carers Queensland podcast. For more information about Carers Queensland, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, or the Local Area Coordination Program, please connect with us online at carerscreensland.com.au, or you can catch up with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarersQueenslandNDIS. We hope this podcast can become a place for people with disability to share their experiences and their stories. So if you have a story that you think we should know about, please contact us via the Carers Queensland Inquiries line at 1300 999 636 or via email at cq.inquiries@ndis.gov.au. Until next time, thanks for listening.